Time now is 5 o'clock. This is WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut, 91.7 FM, Radio for the People, and a special guest for tonight's show. And we're going to have Noah Behrman with us. He'll be on with us in a few minutes. Let's start out with one from Noah Behrman. This is This Little Light of Mine. All right. That was Noah Behrman from the album Soul Force, and we heard This Little Light of Mine. And we've got Noah Behrman here in the studio, so I want to welcome Noah. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
Well, we're here to talk about a bunch of things. You've got a new CD out.
I do. It's fun hearing that track because that was recorded, I feel like I'm getting old, that was recorded 10 years ago.
Was
it? Right when my trio with Vinny Spiraza and Henry Lugo was new, and we'll be celebrating 10 years as a unit with a bunch of gigs this weekend.
Yeah.
Or next weekend, I guess.
Yeah. We'll get into the specifics of those gigs in a little while. I actually played that song because I think it shows a side of you that always surprises me. One characteristic that I love about it is it's always got a soulful feeling and a big R&B influence. And I was just wondering where that might have come from.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you hear that in my music. First of all,
am I right in hearing that?
Certainly. I mean, the soulfulness is fundamental to what I'm trying to accomplish, and balancing that with other stuff is my eternal challenge. On that tune, for example, it's actually the solo section is completely freeform, which I like to think it doesn't sound the way people would stereotype a free jazz thing to be.
Right.
Not that I have any problem with that stuff either. I enjoy that too. But free doesn't necessarily have to mean atonal or chaotic. And but I mean, I guess I can trace it back to the moment where my life path was crystallized when I was about six and watching Sesame Street, and Stevie Wonder came on and did Superstition with a full band, horn section and everything, and Big Bird dancing around. And I pointed to the TV and I said, that's what I'm going to do. And it took me years to figure out what that was and how to actually access the training and study that would get me there. But whatever the soulful qualities were that I heard in Stevie on that occasion, just hit the wavelength that resonated through my whole being, and I just knew that I needed to devote myself to finding that.
Yeah. So it all started with Sesame Street.
It all started
and
with
Stevie
Sesame
Wonder.
Street. Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, so now that album, as you said, was 10 years old, Soul Force. But you've got a brand new CD out called Ripples.
I do. Very excited.
And I think you could call that a concept album, would
yeah,
you say?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I would say, I was realizing talking to someone about this the other day that I've historically had a pattern of going back and forth between concept projects and less concept-oriented, you know, here's some tunes that I want to play projects.
Yeah.
Although, increasingly, the non-concept projects are comprised of tunes that have concepts behind them. So, but this one is essentially, Ripples is a mission statement of sorts for Resonant Motion, which is a nonprofit that I've been directing for the last year and a half or so, which revolves around the intersection of music and positive change.
And so from looking at the liner notes, it seems each of these compositions almost has a story behind it. And
indeed,
And as I listen to the album, it definitely almost flows in kind of an esoteric way. It almost flows as a story. It's kind of a shame that I'm going to play a couple tracks here and there, because I think the album deserves to be listened to as a whole album, you know, in its entirety from start to finish.
Thank you. Well, you know, in the interweb era, your listeners can certainly access it in that way if they want to hear it all the way through in that sense. But yeah, I mean, I think there's become more and more unity to what I'm trying to express as an artist. I mean, I guess really as a human being, and being an artist is just one facet of that. So the sort of social justice issues that permeate a lot of this music and general sort of hopefully spirit of compassion and love and growth and perseverance. Hope that's the unifying theme. But you're right that it's sort of an esoteric narrative as opposed to a real chronological story, for example.
All right. I've got queued up Motherless. Do you want to talk about that and what that represents?
Sure. Well, for also around the same time period we're discussing for the last 10 years, well, for the last 10 years and forevermore, I've been a parent, and my wife Kate and I got into parenting in a less traditional manner. Uh-huh. Our three daughters, who are all grown now, all came to us as teens through the foster care system. Uh-huh. And we've become very committed. I mean, aside to committed to parenting our kids, we've become very committed to the cause of foster care. And it's one of the things that I've been trying to use music to raise awareness of, and conversely use to infuse the music with a real personal, I guess you could say, passion. I mean, there's a devotion to what it's about that that nourishes the music in a way.
All right. So
Motherless is fairly straightforward in that sense. And it's it uses materials from the spiritual Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child with some other materials that I came up with.
Yeah, yeah.
And this this features the Jazz Samaritan Alliance. So maybe we can talk after we hear it about who that is.
Okay. Yep. Well, let's listen to Motherless. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motherless Child from Noah Behrman. Kind of a different sound than I'm used to hearing on your recordings.
Well, it's the first time I've recorded on organ, unless you count the R&B record I made in 1999, which is best forgotten. but yeah, so certainly texturally, it's different.
And throughout the whole album, there's a certain depth to the music. There's different ensembles playing. There's string arrangements, vocals on it. It adds a depth and a texture that I haven't heard on your albums. And it's very nice. You took some risks in doing that, and I think it really paid off.
Thank you, Ken. Well, yeah. I mean, I was fortunate to have great musicians playing with me. So, I mean, it's a lot easier to take risks when you know that no matter what you do, there's people equipped to make it sound as good as it can sound on the other end. But
And you've got, well, the album's made up of some core ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard, we might as well talk about the personnel on that track.
Sure. So that is a group that formed, so ironically, it formed in late 2012, but we just had our first actual gig together in New York last week at the Jazz Gallery.
Yeah.
But it's the Jazz Samaritan Alliance. It's a collective and cooperative ensemble with five members, the others being Chris Allen on alto saxophone.
Great alto sax player. He's been up here in that seat talking with us.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I thought it felt familiar. And Jimmy Green on tenor saxophone.
Great.
Both of whom I've been playing with since I was in high school. And Chris Dingman on vibraphone and Jonathan Blake on drums. And there are some guests on some of the tracks with those guys, but this one is just that group, so I got to cover the bass lines on organ.
Elsewhere, there's some string ensembles. The next track we're going to hear has those strings on it. And I was wondering, was there a lot of post-production involved in this CD? The layering, the sounds of the sort of layering effects that I hear on it, is that from post-production or did you pretty much perform
it live? Well, I will say that I'm going to give a plug to Justin Kurtz, who runs the engineering program at the Hart School here in the greater Hartford area.
Yep.
And Justin really put a lot into mixing this to make it sound clear. The studios where we recorded were great, but Justin really pulled it together in a way where you can hear everything very clearly and has a fullness that I feel great about.
Yeah, it definitely comes through. So I've got queued up next The Healer.
Right.
Do you want to tell us about that track?
Sure. So I wrote that in the late 90s and first recorded it on my Patch Kit album in 2002 with Ron Carter and Ben Reilly. And that album was a fundraiser and awareness raiser for Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a connective tissue disorder with which I was born and with which I was struggling very much at the time. And I mean, in a sense, I've been struggling with it my whole life.
Yep.
But in my late 20s, when I recorded Patch Kit, I was really not sure if I'd be able to keep performing. The trajectory of my body was such that I thought I'd, you know, maybe if I was stubborn enough, I could make it to 35. And so I've made it to 40 and I'm still plugging away.
Yeah.
So there's a certain celebratory quality to getting to record the song again in this chamber music context, plus my trio, chamber quintet plus a trio. But the song more generally is about all of the people who in our lives, who we depend on to help us through adversity.
Hmm.
And that certainly was inspired by my experiences with EDS, but I like to think it's a pretty universal theme.
All right, getting back to the tune we're about to hear. So this is with the trio.
That's right.
And a string ensemble.
Yep, five-piece string and wind ensemble. So some really great players, Meg Okura and Zach Brock, who just came out with a great crisscross record. And Meg
Violins,
Okura actually played at the Hartford Library.
Yes.
Kicked off their series this year.
Right.
So they're both playing violin. Dave Egger, who really was kind of the behind the scenes MVP for this chamber stuff on cello, Ben Fingland on clarinet, who's not really a jazz guy, more of a crossover classical player.
So it is more than a string ensemble then.
It is, and on flute and alto flute, Erica von Kleist, who went to West Hartford's Hall High School and who played on my Know Thyself project a few years ago as well.
All right, so let's hear The Healer. Thank you. Very nice, very nice. So that was a duet with yourself and Chris Allen.
Chris Allen, yeah. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a favorite of this show.
Yeah.
One of the favorites of this show. And before that, we heard The Healer, which was the trio along with a, I was saying string ensemble, but it's not, it's within a ensemble.
Chamber ensemble
a chamber
with strings.
Chamber ensemble, okay. And that trio is going to be with you at the Side Door Cafe next Saturday, I believe, is
indeed,
right?
Indeed, yep. We'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary as a unit, and, of course, the release of Ripples at the Side Door on Saturday the 29th.
And it's a great trio. If you've never heard them, definitely come down to the Side Door in Old Lyme, Connecticut. That trio has, besides Noah, it's got Henry Lugo. Well, why don't you say something about the two players that you've been associated with all these
well,
years.
Yeah, Henry Lugo,
great bass player
on bass, and Vinny Spiraza on drums. I give them a lot of credit for my persistence. Uh-huh. That's actually the name of the piece we just listened to, is Ripple Persistence.
Okay.
By total coincidence. But when I met Henry and started playing with him, which was about 11 and a half years ago, I was really taken by his sound and just by what a great guy he is.
Yeah.
I mean, really amazing combination to have. And this is true of many of the people on this album, this combination of being great people and exceptional musicians. And then when we played for the first time as a trio with Vinny, who I had known when he was, I'd met him when he was a teenager and thought, okay, I need to keep an eye out for this guy. He's really got something.
Yeah.
And we played this gig in New Jersey. It was shortly after I turned 30, and I was sort of perceiving that my best years were in the rearview mirror.
Oh.
We played this gig, and it was just great. It was. I don't often say that about things that I participate in, but it was great, you know. And I was finding musical things that I thought were hard to access. And my wife Kate came up to me after the gig was over and said, I didn't realize you could still do that. I mean, that's how much they brought out of me the things that I thought my physical issues had sapped, but with them I was able to find them. And I don't want to make it sound like it's Dumbo's feather where you take them away and nothing, but they are both so skilled and so compatible with my concept that I'm just really fortunate to have them as a core unit.
So again, urge all my listeners in the Connecticut area to come down to the Side Door Jazz Club and check that. It's a great venue. The sound is great. The ambiance is there. Very much like a upscale jazz club, like the Jazz Standard or something like that.
It's the real deal, and we are very fortunate. We should not, as Connecticut jazz lovers, take for granted that it's there. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Now you're just coming off a gig in New York City at the Jazz Gallery. How did that go?
It was great. I mean, playing with those musicians is this was the debut performance by the Jazz Samaritan Alliance, and just the level of energy and spirit in the music, the level of brotherhood among the musicians was really profound.
Before we forget, let's talk a little bit more about where my listeners can get a hold of the CD.
Sure. Well, they can go to my website, noahjazz.com, N-O-A-H-J-A-Z-Z, and there's a page on there, or you could go to noahjazz.com/ripples, and there's information about how to acquire it, but I would say equally importantly, there's a lot of information about the musicians and about the inspiration behind each of the tunes, because each of these songs is a very personal and, to me, very important story. And so I've blogged extensively about all of the inspiration behind each tune. And there are handy links there, so you can read all of that. Or you can get the Reader's Digest version and read about basically what the songs and what the album are about.
So it's available both, obviously, as
digital or physical.
Yeah.
Any way you like it.
Yeah. Most of the time I purchase digital, but this CD might be an exception. You may want to get the physical, the entire package on this one.
Glad you feel that way. And I will say, I guess I'm not beating my own chest by saying this, but my wife, Kate Tenaik, who I've referenced a couple times, painted the work of art that is the cover, and it looks pretty great on the CD.
Yeah, well, it's basically ripples going off in many dimensions. I don't know if that's what it seems to me. I see it in many dimensions, and probably
I don't know how to talk about art, but that sounds about right to me.
Well, that's the impression I get, and I think it goes along with kind of the theme of the CD. Ripples, as you've explained it to me, I've heard you explain it at shows and so forth, is sort of an act of kindness, and how it ripples out. You do one good thing and inspires other people to do good things and so on.
That's right.
Essentially,
and I mean, a case could be made that the opposite is true as well. I mean, essentially, all of our actions have these ripple effects.
Yeah.
And the piece and really the album were inspired by my aunt, Margie Pazewski, who passed away in the fall of 2012. And I was asked to play something at her memorial. And so I came up with the composition Ripples, which is the final track on the album. But there are fragments of musical content from that, including the duet we just heard with Chris, that are scattered throughout the record. And I just looked at her life and how there were some really dramatic things that she did as an activist and as a philanthropist that had a great effect on people. And there were more subtle things in terms of her basic kindness as a human being. And in all of these cases, that was rippling outward and having a positive impact on people several degrees of separation removed from her own personal interactions. Yeah. And, you know, I just believe, I believe with all of my heart that that's how we need to be. We need to think about the impacts of our actions, and we need to choose love and choose kindness and choose responsibility, and think about how each of the actions that correspond with that can move people in a good direction.
Yeah.
I like to think we all want that. Certainly all of your listeners want that. If you're if that's not what you're into, you're probably listening to Rush Limbaugh right now, and good for you, but
Good. So, you know, I didn't do a proper introduction, but besides being a great pianist, a composer, you're also an author. You've authored several instructional books on piano and music, correct?
I have, yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because I'm a little bleary-eyed now, because I'm just in the very final stages of preparing a manuscript for what will be my 10th instructional book. But this one is my first with a co-author. The pianist Jen Allen and I are writing one together.
Nice.
Which has been a great, though demanding, experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Working with Jen isn't demanding. That's been awesome. Okay. But just coming up with a book is hard.
Oh, yeah. Writing a book, I imagine, is a lot of work.
It's easier than it was the first time, but it's still hard.
Yeah, yeah. And an educator at Wesleyan University and elsewhere. Yeah. A question I like to ask a lot of people who come up here is about the future of jazz music. You work with a lot of young musicians, aspiring musicians. Mm-hmm. I'm personally very concerned about the future of jazz music. I just wonder what your take is on it. You see a lot of young musicians, seen what's happened to the jazz audience over the year. What is your take on the future of jazz?
Well, I'll give you two perhaps parallel responses to that, I guess. One, if we're talking about the sort of economic future of jazz, it's not looking great, but there's a lot of things that are not looking great. So every year I sort of recalibrate the advice I give to aspiring young jazz musicians. Should I go into this? And it's all a matter of, well, are you a fool to do this given the risks and given the challenges? And really, it's sort of a formula of how risky is it and how safe is it to do something else?
Yeah.
And in this day and age, I don't really see it being that safe to do anything else.
Yeah.
So if it's not your calling, then going into jazz is completely insane.
Right.
But if it's your calling, then, you know, I mean, you don't go into the clergy because you because you've calculated that of the career choices available to you, it's the thing that makes the most rational sense.
Yeah,
you do it
because
you have to. And which leads me to my second, perhaps more optimistic view of the future of jazz, that the substance of this music, I mean, the reason I like to think that I'm a reasonably articulate and responsible person and that there are other ways that I could be spreading the messages that are important to me and accomplishing what I want to accomplish and making a living and so on. And I continue to choose being a jazz musician because I feel like there is something profound in this music that can communicate in a way that nothing else can. Not necessarily better than anything else, but there's a unique and really potent quality to this music. And as long as there are people who are open to that kind of substance, then how can the music die? How can it fade away?
Yeah.
I mean, we as human beings with souls need this.
Uh-huh.
And there are enough people out there who believe that I just can't see it disappearing.
All right. Well, we only have time for one more. I was going to play some, we talked about playing some other stuff, but I really want to play this track from your new album, Ripples, called Lester. And this includes someone who's had a great influence on you. So if you could just briefly tell me about Kenny.
Kenny Barron. Yeah. So this is the Jazz Samaritan Alliance once again, but in this case augmented by Linda O on bass and Kenny Barron on piano. Since I was playing organ on the track, we were able to coexist. Although for my 6 years of studying with him in college and grad school at Rutgers, we played side by side two pianos every week. So that would have been fine too. But the song is pretty dark in terms of content. You can go to the noahjazz.com Ripples page and read about that if you want. But I choose to take a view of transcendence with that as a kind of cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And the musicians played their hearts out. They really got into the substance of it. And I was very happy with that.
Thank you, Noah, for coming up here. It's great to spend this hour with you.
And, thanks so much, Ken.
And talk about your music. So this is Lester featuring Kenny Barron. Thank you.
You're listening to an excerpt from the track entitled Lester from Noah Behrman's new CD, Ripples. You can find out more about the recording and where you can purchase it by going to noahjazz.com.